Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Every once in a while, we get to chat with an author of, well, some very fascinating books, and today definitely fits the mold for that. John Van Sloten is an author and also a pastor. Every job a parable, what Walmart greeters, nurses, and astronauts tell us about God. First of all, John, thanks so much for being a part of All You Ever Wanted to Know. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Jordan. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes. Well, how's the weather in Alberta today?
It is beautiful. We're into the 7-8 degrees Celsius range and sunny every day, so spring is coming.
It sure is. We're big fans of that as well after getting just dumped on last week. I heard Calgary got some of that too. But tell us a bit more about yourself before we dive into the book.
Well, I'm a pastor, ordained minister in the Christian Reformed Church. Has about 1,000 churches in North America. For the past 22 years, I was the planting pastor of a new church here in Calgary, formerly called New Hope Church. They have a new name now. And then about a year ago, I moved on from that position to pursue writing primarily, but also doing some teaching at Ambrose Seminary and university here in town, and a few other little projects on the go.
Great. So now into Every Job a Parable. Is this your first book? Have you written
it's
others?
My second. My first book was called The Day Metallica Came to Church, searching for the everywhere God and everything.
Yeah, well, let's just go back to that first one, because there is a connection, I suppose, between these two books, making the connection of finding God in everyday places. That sort of theme kind of resonates, I suppose, in both books.
Yeah, the first, you're nailing it. And also in my third book, which I'm working on right now, on finding God in science. And so the thing that connects them all is that God is a big God and moves providentially and sovereignly through all things, both inside the church and outside of the church, through quote-unquote secular means and through sacred means. I'm a big believer in that being a false kind of dualism. This is God's world, and God moves through his world in very special ways and clear ways through Christians in the church, but also in and through the ways of science and art and vocation and pop culture. And so the first book on Metallica talks about God in art and sport and music and film and a whole bunch of other pop culture topics. The second book focuses on almost 50 different jobs, vocations are looked at as parables, like parables, mm-hmm. in which God reveals himself. And then the third one, that God speaks science. God is the great physicist and chemist and biologist.
Mm-hmm. Now, just with research for these books, now I'm guessing you probably didn't actually talk directly to Metallica for that first one, did you?
I preached a sermon on the band.
Okay.
The nudging of a young teenage boy in our church. And I wasn't sure what to do. I said initially that I would pray about it, which is often how pastors slough off their parishioners. And the next day, somebody, a newbie at our church, phoned and said that he had 2 Metallica tickets for a concert the next week for me and my wife to go to.
Wow.
So I thought, oh boy, I really did pray, and that happened. And so we went to the concert, and I heard remnants of Old Testament prophets there in their lyrics and their anger, and ended up preaching a sermon, and then got a call the Saturday night before I was going to preach it from a woman from Warner Music Canada, who was representing Metallica. So I thought they were going to sue me like they sued Napster for using their music. But in fact, they were asking for permission to send a camera crew down to film the sermon because the drummer of Metallica has never heard of a Christian church seeing anything positive in their heavy metal music before.
Hmm.
And so they filmed it. that sermon video's online in a few different places. And Metallica watched the sermon, I'm told, and so they kind of came via their agents and their music distributor. But I think what was cool in that story was that even a heavy metal band,
right,
a quote-unquote, a non-faith-based. God can even be working in that place. And the power of naming God's work in the world, even a world outside of Christendom, it's a good witness. It's a way of letting people know that God is already moving in their lives. So, yeah,
sure.
That story, I mean, Metallica, I mean, that happened with Supertramp, that happened with the Toronto Blue Jays, that's happened with dozens and dozens and scores of different sermons over the years. You name where God's at work in the world, and people kind of lean in and say, what? And then kind of get intrigued and, yeah, are sometimes converted by
right.
what you're saying.
John Van Sloten is our guest today on All You Ever Wanted to Know. He's written a book, Every Job a Parable, What Walmart Greeters, Nurses, and Astronauts Tell Us About God. So, John, then for this book, how long had it been in the works, and when did it finally get published?
Yeah, well, as a pastor preacher, at least up until now, books being in the works start with a local congregation filled with workers and a preacher who has this worldview that God's moving in all places. Who then steps probably about 5 years ago into the idea of preaching vocation as text alongside the Scripture and through the Scriptures, of course. But people's jobs, the core idea of the book is that people's jobs really are parables that are spoken by a providential God within which people can know God and experience God through their vocational image bearing. And through which the world can see something of the nature of God, through how an emergency helicopter service will rush across the province to try to save someone because God has an urgent heart to save, or through how an electrician brings life to inanimate things and light into the world through the work that they do, imaging a God who does the same, et cetera, et cetera. And so I started preaching on the jobs of people in our church, from scientists to firefighters to servers in restaurants and stylists, hairstylists, and yeah, eventually the vocational sermon bucket got full enough that I thought I should write this down, and because what has been very relevant in our local context would surely be relevant to a stylist in Saskatchewan, right? Or a
yeah.
firefighter in Ontario.
Well, and I know faith-based communities are very strong, I know, across the prairies, the farmland of, if you will, of the Midwest of the United States, some of those rural areas. And I think it goes hand in hand with Jesus made a lot of parables using farming, agriculture, if you will, based themes to connect his message, you know, with his audience 2,000 years ago, and there can be that connection so much easier to people that work in that kind of industry here on the prairie, as an example. But
yeah.
What about for everyone else? And I'm glad that you've taken it upon just way of saying, yes, we can find God more than just in agriculture, for example. We can find him in the healthcare field, something like science as well. It's just incredible. Did that sort of tie into as well, wanting to make Christ's message just connect with more people, and this is a way that it can be done?
Yeah, well, all of that. And I, for the record, did preach on a farmer as a text. So if people want to watch your Yorkton neighbors and listeners, they can go watch that at my website, johnvansloten.com. But yeah,
okay.
The idea that God it moves through all of those vocations and then collectively through all of our work to make a world that flourishes. I don't eat unless the farmers in your neighborhood are doing the work that they do. And the farmers in your neighborhood don't do the work they do unless somebody's building the gear and the tractors and the equipment that they use. And all of our work collectively holds together in a kind of mysterious providential way for our world to flourish, and none of it perfectly, and things fall short, and sin breaks down the process. But for the most part, especially we in Canada, I mean, things work, and they work because of work, and work works because the world is called to work in the image of a working God. God, the God we know in the Bible, gets things done, and uses people and uses technology. So what would it mean for us to then believe that the God that we see working in those ways in the scriptures can work in your life, you know, as a baker, right, or as a interviewer on the radio, or in any job I've discovered?
Well, sure. And I think it just goes hand in hand, too. Like, there's, I know, just so many people where it's a case of, yeah, they come to church on the Sunday morning. There you, I've done my deed. I'll see you next Sunday, everyone. Whereas I know a lot of pastors are just trying to get the message across. No, this is about going in our daily life, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. We walk with God everywhere we go, not just when we meet on Sunday morning in a pew.
Right, right. And so as we as a community over the past 7 or 8 years have heard sermons, and I've interviewed, you know, scores of people about their jobs, and people have heard about other people's jobs, have seen a glimmer of the face of God as it's imaged in a hair stylist making you new. When a stylist attentively and very intimately engages your life and cuts your hair and colors your hair and fixes you up, and you leave that chair feeling just right and good and yourself again, that even is a pointer to a God who makes us new. And not just our souls, the God in the scriptures makes bodies new. And you know, Jesus was resurrected in a body and has a body now seated at the right hand of God. And so God's "I am making all things newness" and passion comes through in the job of a stylist. And so anyway, in our church, when I preach all these different jobs, all of a sudden, I imagine people in our community then have a life increasingly filled with parables. Every time I drive down from Edmonton to Calgary and I see farmers doing their things, I'm reminded of the truths and the wisdom of what they know about the land and how that points to God's wisdom and what God knows about the land. And everywhere I look, increasingly, the parable of somebody's job is preaching. And so to what you were just saying, you know, that we can know God and worship God and serve
right.
God everywhere, this idea of all the work that happens around you being a day-to-day, everywhere text, is a powerful contributor to that end.
Yeah. Now, the format for this book, I want to dive into that a little bit here. This doesn't read like chapter one, Walmart greeter, chapter two, nurse, chapter three, and so on and so forth. Every chapter is its own vacation. Can you talk a bit how you've arranged the book together with the professions kind of intertwined?
Yeah. I mean, it has a little of that. So the publisher, you know, in this chapter, these six jobs are looked at, and in the next chapter. And so it has a bit of a, you know, a string of pearls, string of different vocations focus. But, yeah, not chapter to chapter. And so early in the book, we talk about creation. Actually, before we get to creation, we talk about sometimes people have small jobs. Sometimes people have jobs that, you know, our world never looks up to, you know. They're not white-collar enough. They don't lead enough. They don't make enough money. They don't have any prestige to them, and kind of surfaces that God is a God of all work, and that, in fact, the God who loves the lost and the least and the last may care about the old woman who delivers flyers in my neighborhood more than I could imagine. So the first chapter does that, and then we jump into creation. And so the idea that the world, the material world that God made with people doing work so that the world can flourish and follow God's creational mandate in Genesis to fill the earth and be fruitful and multiply, that isn't just a biological imperative, that's a cultural imperative. And so we talk about creation, and then we move into the idea of the being made in the image of God, which traditionally the church is maybe limited a bit by saying we image God through our creativity or our rationality or our relationality. But in the book I write, I think we image God through our hand-eye coordination. I think a carpenter images God, or a farmer fixing something, doing some woodworking on his farm, images God in the ability to look at a problem in his head, know exactly how to cut the wood to make that joint whole again, and then translate what they know in their heads to their hands, so that and then do the work, and then sure enough, that thing is made new. I think that kind of moving from abstract to the concrete images of God, who made all things out of nothing when he created the cosmos. So then after image of God, we move into, things are broken in the fall, and so I kind of do a seven deadly vocational sins, looking at pride and how that keeps us from seeing God at work, and envy, and lust, and anger, and then move into the more redemptive side. The God who takes a good world that he made, where work was a good thing, work was a pre-fall thing, it fell, it's broken, it's tainted, it's not what it should be, but he's making it new, and then sort of take that making new emphasis through to the end of the book, talking about how gratitude can help you know God more, and how to, just a few suggestions. At the end of every chapter, there's a section called Lectio Vocatio, which is a kind of a play on Lectio Divina, the idea that there is a way to read the scriptures in a more attentive way. These Lectio Vocatio sections look at how to read your work in a more attentive way. And so there's a whole bunch of practical stuff woven through the book as well. So, yeah, that's a long answer to your question.
No, that's the basic format. Yeah, well, that's great. Very well put. And I am a fan when I saw the first chapter about the Lectio Vocatio, just to really get people thinking a bit more about what they're reading. And I love the part in there where you even say, hey, if you're at this point of thinking, clearly you maybe missed a point that I read. Go back and read this part again. I like that, just because you're really wanting to try and make sure people can unravel this and understand. And if it does take an extra read of something, then so be it. It's a good way to make sure you're absorbing overall the intent of what you're trying to get across in terms of a message. So can we go back to, let's just go through the title, because I don't want you to unpack every single profession that you're talking about, but since they're in the title of the book, the Walmart greeter, for example, take us through that process of finding God in how someone approaches their job as a Walmart greeter. Tell us the story about behind this. You actually went to a Walmart, I understand, and even pondered, hey, could I even do this for a day or something like that? Something changed your mind there?
I go to a Walmart regularly with my son, my disabled son, and he does a lot of his shopping there. We do as a family. Anyway, there was a greeter there named Shirley who was amazing. She was in her late 70s, and she was like the mayor of Walmart, and everybody loved her, and they knew her name, and they would stop and talk. It probably wasn't efficient for business, but it was great for PR for the company. And she was doing her job, and I was kind of in the middle of preaching all kinds of jobs, from sort of high-end scientific jobs to business to the rest, and then I thought, could I preach a sermon on a Walmart greeter? And so I asked her if she'd be interested, and she thought, what are you talking about? She thought I was crazy, actually, because she's been on the losing end of all kinds of judgmentalism, and people joke about, you know, if I can't find a real job, I could always work as a Walmart greeter. And so that a pastor would be interested in her was a surprise, but then it became a gift. And through the conversation we had, and we actually had a videographer come and interview her in the store with her manager's permission, we saw the gift of hospitality in somebody who images a God who wants us to find what we need and to find it efficiently, and is willing to help us in the process of getting what we need, be that getting a cart or greeting us when we enter into our day. And anyway, she was an image bearer in all those ways. But yeah, the idea, what you were referring to, the idea hit me that, wow, this is one job I can actually do for the day, you know, and I could just put on the blue Walmart uniform and greet for the day and really find out from the inside what this job is like. And then my pride gets in the way, and I go, well, what if someone I know sees me there, you know? And I kiboshed my own idea because of my own pride, even as I was attempting and was able to engage God's glory in that vocation. And so, yeah, Jordan, thanks for bringing that up. But it's true. I mean,
yeah,
so I'm
sure.
I hear you write a book trying to honor everybody's jobs. And
right.
Still, there's something inside of us that wants to say, yeah, yeah, yes, Christians, of course, but, you know, the successful guy's farm, that's important. You know, the woman who's a lawyer downtown, she's the one who's really got a vocation that matters.
Right.
And I think, you know, lots of people have commented on my book saying what they really love is that it moves beyond white collar, and it moves beyond success, and it moves beyond money, and it moves beyond just using your money as a person of faith to give to real ministry. It really does to show that all work is ministry, and all work, all jobs matter to God. And so a lot of trades and a lot of more unseen work is mentioned
right
in the text.
So again, going to the Walmart greeter, not being able to live that out in the shoes, if you will, of the worker, being an astronaut, I'm sure you tried, you gave it your best go, but they probably still weren't letting you into outer space, were they?
No, they were not letting me into outer space.
Okay.
And it's a funny story how that happened, right? I wrote the book, and, you know, the editor's in the late rounds of editing, and they're designing a cover title, and they're working on the final title because authors don't get to choose titles. And they come back with a really nice cover with a picture of an astronaut on it, and then this title that includes an astronaut, and there's not a mention of an astronaut in the book
anywhere. Wow.
And so I was kind of shocked, and they said, well, we can figure out a way to put it in there. I said, well, don't worry. I've already actually written a big blog post on an astronaut, and so I was able to integrate all of that into the book, but told the story of an astronaut, a U.S. astronaut in the International Space Station looking down on 9/11. In real time, and that astronaut, I'm paraphrasing now, but looked down and said, I know things are real rough on the ground right now, and my heart is with you, all of you in Manhattan and in New York, but from up here, you need to know that things still look pretty beautiful from my perspective, right? And most of the buildings at that time in Manhattan were still standing.
Yeah.
The water, the oceans were still keeping their boundaries. Most of the country was still in a very safe place. So an astronaut's point of view, pointing to a God's point of view, that says that even when tragedy hits and calamity in that large a scale hits, from the right perspective, there's still good in the world, and things are still kept, and not to in any way diminish people's pain or suffering or what happened on 9/11, but the perspective of an astronaut, of a looking down God who sees us and sees, you know, not only from a geographically big perspective, but chronologically big perspective, and knows that what we're living now is just a finger snap in terms of the eternity that we're going to spend with him, and a kind of, don't worry, you'll be okay, I'm with you, and you'll be with me one day.
Right.
Kind of mess.
John Van Sloten has been our guest today on All You Ever Wanted to Know. He's written a book, Every Job a Parable, What Walmart Greeters, Nurses, and Astronauts Tell Us About God. John, it's been great to chat with you. I love this, just the idea behind this book. I can't say I love this book. I haven't read it yet, but looking forward to getting a copy of it. Sounds like a very great read. Thanks so much for being a part of our program today.
Jordan, again, appreciate your interest, and wish you a good day.
Thank you. It's All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Big thank you to the communication firm Graf Martin for helping us line up John as being our guest today on the program. They're also providing a copy of the book. So if you'd like a copy of this book, for the first person through on The Rock line, 306-783-5160. We'll hook you up with Every Job a Parable, What Walmart Greeters, Nurses, and Astronauts Tell Us About God by our guest, John Van Sloten. Otherwise, you can also find it at your nearest bookstore. And John, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Mine as well, Jordan.
All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.